Hello, this is the Angry GM, and this is just a quick disclaimer before we get started that once again, I am rushing this out at the last minute, and so I will be doing my own audio remixing. If the quality sounds a little off, that is because Rattercrash, who usually does my audio remastering and is very good at it, is not doing it, and I am not good at it. This is the Angry GM, and it is time for a proofread aloud, and the time for proofreading aloud is now. True Character Creationism, an Introduction. This feature is part of my True Campaign Manager course. It's all about how to launch and run the role-playing game campaign you want to run, and give it the best chance to succeed. If you haven't been following it from the start, catch up with the True Campaign Manager course index. I'm starting a new multi-part course module today, all about the absolutely awful process that is character creation. It's called True Character Creationism. Undefined is for those of you who'd rather listen to me stammer and stutter my way through proofreading this crap out loud. Heading: True Character Creationism, an Introduction. Hello, aspiring true campaign managers and managettes. We're moving on today from policies and procedures and planning and thinking. It's time to talk about how you literally get your campaign party started. It's time to talk today, and for several lessons, about character creation. This may come as a shock to you, even though I said it several times in all that crap about character death, but every role-playing game player needs a character to play, which means they've got to make one or... you've got to make one for them. Because, yes, that is an option. Incidentally, if you appreciate these shockingly brilliant insights of mine, there are ways to support my work. But seriously, players need characters. Getting characters out of players, or into the players' hands, is a giant-ass pain. Doing it right won't necessarily make your campaign great, but doing it wrong can start your campaign with a painful slog or plant the seeds of total failure later. Well, that's a bit hyperbolic, actually, but the point of this whole course is giving your campaign the best chance to succeed. As you read or listen, remember I'm teaching you, yes, you sitting there reading or listening to this horseshit, I'm teaching you how to make the best decisions about launching the... I'm teaching you how to make the best decisions about launching the campaign you want to run in the system in which you want to run it in. I'm not going to say shit like random character creation is the best, or ban sorcerers, warlocks, bards, and gnomes, trust me, or any crap like that. I want to empower you to make the best decisions for your campaign based on your campaign vision. Remember your campaign vision? Question mark? Not period? Typo? Keep that shit in mind when you decide what verbal diarrhea you want to spew all over my comment section. I need to emphasize my. Guess what? When I start campaigns, I sometimes make my players do the whole random character thing, missing word. Wow, this one's a mess today. Usually I can get a good straightaway where we can go for a while without me making a mistake. Anyway, guess what? When I start campaigns, I sometimes make my players do the whole random character thing. Sometimes I let them make carefully crafted bespoke characters with point buy and shit. Sometimes I ban monks, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I ask for detailed backstories. Sometimes I host a big-ass character generation party where we get pizza and make characters together. Sometimes I assign character creation as homework. It depends on the campaign I envision and the system I'm running. That's how you should be. If you have one, und precisely one, character creation method you always use, you probably suck at this, and I don't trust, and neither should you trust, any game master who can tell you which character creation method is best without asking a lot of questions about your campaign first. My point is, don't expect specific character creation instructions from me unless I'm providing an example, and then it's just that, an example. My goal is to help you make the right decisions for your game, not to make the objectively correct decisions I'd make. Heading: what's the point of character creationism? We're all about goals here in this course and at Angry Games headquarters. We do everything deliberately and with intentional purpose. We figure out what we're trying to accomplish and then come up with a plan for accomplishing it. That's why we don't let random tables generate our games unless we've carefully crafted those random tables to fulfill a specific, explainable purpose. So what's the goal of the whole character creation thing? Character creation is the process by which each player somehow ends up with a complete character for the campaign you're about to run. A character that has everything necessary to start playing the campaign and nothing that isn't necessary, as quickly and efficiently and painlessly as possible. Let's break down the important points. Heading: the campaign you're about to run. The first key concept is this. Character creation is about making characters for the campaign you're about to run. Every player character is made for a specific campaign. This is one of the few objective, correct absolutes I'm going to insist on here. I don't care whether you prefer randomness or point buy or lots of restrictions or complete freedom. None of that crap matters. But you must accept that characters are made for specific campaigns. Consequently and thusly, the campaign vision determines what characters can be made and how they get made. A player character is the tool with which a player interacts with the game and the world. If the character isn't a good fit for the game, it's like playing a video game with a mouse and keyboard instead of a controller, or playing with anything other than a PlayStation controller, because PC gaming is a sin and no one but Sony knows how to make controllers anymore. Is this surprising? It really shouldn't be. You've been here long enough to know this crap. If you're running a campaign, if you're running a fantasy campaign inspired by medieval Europe, also called actual friggin' correct fantasy, you don't need to let in any monks or guns or environmentalists. If you're running a campaign about saving the world from Shrub Niggeroth of the Leafy Chaos, you don't need any lone wolf plunderers angling to get rich even at the expense of his own party. And that brings me to two important other points. And this needs to be a lower level heading, so heading 3. Heading: everything is subject to your approval. For some reason, lots of y'all think you're honor-bound to spell out every rule and restriction in advance and accept anything you didn't restrict in advance. I don't know why, but you do, and you're wrong. As a game master, you're allowed to look at a character that was made entirely according to your rules and say, "Actually, I'm going to say no on this. Come up with something else." Nothing goes into your game without your approval, and you don't actually have to justify that. You can say, "Yes, I know I said anything from the complete handbook of shitty third-party feats is fair game, but actually I forgot that feat existed, and I'm saying no. Pick something else." You can say, "You can't play an elf raised by dwarves. That would never happen. Play an elf or play a dwarf. You can't have both." And that brings me to the second minor point, which also needs to be a smaller level heading. Characters are stats plus story. A complete player character includes both its mechanical mathy stats and its flufferdoodle story crap. It ain't just the numbers on the sheet, it's also whatever else was written or invented for the character. Physical description, personality, motivation, backstory, personal relations, whatever. That's all part of the character. So when I say everything needs your stamp of approval, I mean everything. If you don't like the color of a character's eyes or the name of his years-dead sister, you can reject that shit and demand a change. This also means that when I say a complete character is everything it needs to start a campaign and nothing it doesn't need, I'm covering all the mechanical stats and all the flufferdoodle story. So let's get back to that. Heading: everything a character needs. A complete character includes everything necessary for the player to start playing that character in the campaign you're running. It is on you to determine what everything necessary constitutes based on your campaign vision. That includes every mechanical stat and every flufferdoodle story detail. Obviously, the game system will define everything in terms of mechanical stats. Most game systems spell out what it takes to make a character. Of course, if you're adding any optional systems, you may need some extra stats that aren't in the core instructions. If you're using an honor and glory system, for example, you might need starting status or family honor or some shit like that. It's in the flufferdoodle story crap that things get trickier. It's pretty obvious, for example, that every player must provide a physical description of their character, but what else might actually be necessary? That depends on the campaign vision. Say, for example, you're running one of those player-driven exploration-based campaigns where every character's chasing their own goal. You need personal goals from every player, don't you? Subject to your approval, of course. Say instead you're just doing an Adventure of the Month campaign in which the characters just do whatever quest they're asked. In that case, you probably need a single broad motivation from every player to help you build quests the characters want to take. If you're running a plotted campaign about saving the world, you want to know what makes each character willing and able to take on the world-ending threat, even if it's just because they have the balls to fight when no one else will, even if it kills them. So, everything the character needs for the player to start playing the campaign with it is a lot broader question than it first seems. Heading: and nothing a character doesn't need. And here's where I'm going to lose some of y'all. Every character must have everything they need to make the game playable, right? No shit. But it's almost as important that every character has nothing they don't need to make the game playable. You don't want to bog character creation down with extraneous, unnecessary crap, and you don't want to let the players bog it down either. Why? Part of the answer will be revealed a couple of headings down. Watch out for that. The rest of the answer, though, is this. The whole point of a role-playing game, and I'm going to invoke the Apocalypse World engine here, even though it makes me dry heave. The whole point of a role-playing game... Okay, so clearly because I repeated that, I need to repeat that after the parenthetical, because the parenthetical is long enough for someone to lose what the original statement was. Okay, so we're going to do that whole thing again. The whole point of a role-playing game is, and I'm going to invoke the Apocalypse World engine here, even though it makes me dry heave, the whole point of a role-playing game is to play the game to find out what happens. Just as you, the game master, must evolve and adapt to the player's actions, so too must the players evolve and adapt their characters to the game they're playing. Players shouldn't know too much about their own character at the start of the game. Every unnecessary blank you pre-fill, whether as a player or as a game master, becomes a psychological constraint. It makes you less malleable. This is pure psychology, and I've gone through this shit a dozen times over now, and don't feel like proving the point again. Either you trust me by now, or you don't, and I actually don't care. The point is, whether it's down to mechanical statistical crap or flufferdoodle story bullshit, you don't want anything you don't need to start the game on any character's dossier. If you're doing modern D&D, for example, and you're not using inspiration, you don't need any of that traits and flaws crap. If you never plan to make a big deal about encumbrance or ammo, which is fine, by the way, even I don't sweat encumbrance in some campaigns, tell players they don't need to record gear weights and ammo counts. If you plan to mine the characters' backstories for your adventure plots, you need them. But otherwise, don't ask for or accept written backstories. Not even just because you think it's a fun activity. Sidebar. I never need a psych profile, and neither do you. Do you know what thing lots of players try to hand you that you absolutely never, ever need? It's a description of their character's personality. You know, a few paragraphs explaining how the character behaves and what they believe and what ridiculous traumas made them that way. I ain't saying characters shouldn't have personalities, though it's terrible practice for players to write them down for characters they haven't played for weeks first. I'm just saying I never need it written down for me. I'll see the character's personality as you, the player, play the character. It'll be reflected in your actions. There are times when I need very specific aspects of personality. I often specifically ask for motivations and usually use some kind of alignment too. But apart from that very small, limited shit with specific uses, I do not ever need or want a note from the character's therapist. And neither do you. Heading. And nothing you don't want either. There's an implied corollary thingy to the whole everything you need, nothing you don't thing. And it's that you, the campaign manager, don't want anything in your campaign that you don't want in your campaign. Now, everything's subject to your approval, and you can reject anything at any time for any reason. But if there's some option you absolutely know you're going to reject whenever it comes up, it's worth letting your players know that in advance. You can restrict anything you don't want in your game for any reason. You can restrict shit that doesn't fit your campaign vision, shit that doesn't fit the world you're building, or shit you just kinda hate. For example, I usually run campaigns about good people trying to leave the world a better place than they found it, so I usually restrict evil character options. I also prefer to run true and correct fantasy, so monks don't have a place in the Angryverse. Gnomes annoy the crap out of me, so I rarely allow them either. Of course, I might choose to do things differently if the campaign vision warrants it. I actually have run campaigns in which an evil gnomish monk was absolutely hypothetically possible. The point is, true campaign managers curate the options they'll allow. If there's something they absolutely know they won't approve, they let the players know before character creation starts. It's better to restrict something in advance than to let a player go all the way through character creation only to refuse the stamp of approval at the end. I hope that's obvious. Heading. As quickly and efficiently and painlessly as possible. Let's talk about how character creation actually sucks. I know some players really dig character creation, and I know there are even some insane game masters who think it's a hoot. But the objectively real fact is that character creation is an obstacle to gameplay. No matter how short and simple you make the process, every minute spent on character creation is a minute you could be gaming, but aren't. Moreover, for every player who loves weaving elegant character tapestries from disparate lumps of character option clay, there are between 2 and 1,000 players who find the whole process tediously awful. The less experienced a player is, the more likely they are to hate character creation, because it's just a bunch of math and paperwork they have no context for, which is keeping them from playing the actual fun game. Worse yet, every minute you, the game master, are involved in the character creation process is not only a minute you're not running the game, but it's also a minute you could spend on literally anything else. My video games ain't gonna beat themselves, and I can't think of a more boring way to spend 4 hours than watching 5 people fill out forms by copying crap from a textbook. This, by the way, is the other reason to not waste any time on extraneous crap in character creation. The point is that character creation, I missed a capitalization there. The point is that character creation is necessary, but it's terrible. And when you're deciding how to handle it, you need to treat it that way. Every choice you make about the character creation process needs to take into consideration that character creation is a waste of game time. That said, completeness matters more. I say that because I know some dumbass is going to use this section as an excuse to comment about how randomized old school generation is the best because it's the fastest. Just because it's fast doesn't mean it yields the best results for every campaign. After all, McDonald's is fast too, dumbass. Heading: a two-ish step process. Character creation is the process of getting a complete character creation is the process of getting complete characters into the hands of players so they can start playing the campaign you plan to run. A complete character includes everything it needs to start the game, statistically and story-wise, and nothing it doesn't, and it's specifically tailor-made for the campaign in question. As a true campaign manager, it's your job to figure out how to get that done as quickly and efficiently as possible, because character creation is a suck-ass waste of time. That means that you not only need to decide what rules the players will follow to make characters, but also how you'll shepherd them through the process, unless you just hand them characters you make for them. That's an option too. Remember, there is no right or wrong way to handle character creation except as defined by your campaign vision. Don't listen to any dumbasses in the comments who claim they know the one correct way. Ultimately, then, there are two broad steps in the whole character creation campaign management thing. First, you, the campaign manager, determine what actually constitutes a complete character. What does a character need to be playable, and what doesn't it need? What options are available to choose from, and what aren't? Second, you, still the campaign manager, decide how you'll actually get complete characters out of your players or into their hands or whatever. What's the actual, practical way you'll manage the character creation thing? And since this lesson has introduction in the title, you probably know that I'm going to end here by saying those two broad steps will be discussed in the next few lessons. But I'm going to say it anyway. That's it for the introduction. In the next few lessons, I'll take you through those two broad steps in more detail.